The question to ask yourselves while listening is the following. Do I sympathize with this surfer guy? I mean, because this is what we've got. We've got some young dude who's used to getting his way. Do I sympathize with his plight? Do I feel his pain? Is his tragedy my own? Well?
Non piano e non sospiro, o mia cara Euridice, che sospirar e lacrimar non posso, cadavero infelice. O patria vita, ahimè, chi mi t'ha tolto, chi mi t'ha tolto in me, dove sei gita? Tosto vedrai chi in vano non chiamasti morrendo. Non so lontano, io vengo, cara vita, cara morte.
Well, how much do we sympathize with him? You know, based on what we just heard, not a whole heck of a lot. What's missing? What would have made us sympathize more with him? If he'd sat back and reflected, oh my goodness, how I loved her, how beautiful she was, how she made my life more complete and more substantial. If he was able to look back and contemplate at the level of his loss, we would have some inkling into the depths of his feelings. But he doesn't contemplate. This is, as I said, action music. It is non-reflective. Now, my friends, in another 75 or 100 years, this particular scene would have been written not as a recitative, forward-moving that it is. It would have been written as an aria. Time would have stopped. The librettist would supply words that were reflective, and we would have music that would reinforce the depth of his feeling. By the way, in an aria, we would have one-third the number of words, and the aria would be three times longer, because this person would have much to feel, and he would need time to feel it. Instead, everything is real-time music. This is like a play, only with music added for expressive contour. Ultimately, it is hard to identify with this dude, if you'll excuse me, because that's what he is. And his grief might be heartfelt, but it's not one that we understand. But as I said before, it's a good start. Which brings us to Claudio Monteverdi. He is not a member of the Florentine Camerata. He is instead from Cremona, a city of madrigals and violins. It's in Cremona that Amati, Guarneri, and Stradivari ply their extraordinary violinistic craft. A little bit about Monteverdi, and first about his name. Monteverdi means mountain green or green mountain. Greenberg, my name, spelled properly with a B-E-R-G at the end, also means green mountain or mountain green. Therefore, if I was Italian, my name would be properly Roberto Monteverdi, which sounds, I think, a lot better than Bob Greenberg. But having grown up in the United States, Southern New Jersey quite particularly, I will live with my name with the knowledge that if I ever decide to make that most marvelous transition from American to Italian, I will have a great name to work with. Monteverdi was one of the truly great composers in our history. He was trained by Marc Antonio Ingegneri, the head of music at the cathedral in Cremona, and in 1590, at the age of 23, he entered the service of Vincenzo Gonzaga, the Duke of Mantua. In 1602, he became master of the Ducal Chapel in Mantua, and it was then, while in Mantua, that Monteverdi wrote his first opera, Orfeo. Going past the date of Orfeo, by the way, which is 1607, I would tell you that between 1613 and 1643, Monteverdi becomes the choir master at St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice. This is the most important musical job in what has to be the most wide open town in all of Italy. First, St. Mark's. I hope we all have either been to St. Mark's or will get to St. Mark's at some point. It is a magnificent, bedomed Byzantine cathedral that reflects sound inside of it in a sort of unique way. And any music written to be played in this cathedral sounds like no music you've ever heard before. Venice is also as wide open a town as you will find anywhere. It is not run by the church. It is not run by the aristocracy. It's run by businessmen. And it is a fun-loving town. One thinks of New Orleans or San Francisco, cities open for business and pleasure 24 hours a day.